You have your Bibles, would you open them to James chapter 5? We've been working through the book of James, and we've entitled this series Putting Faith into Action, because James has been all about doing, all about putting our faith into action and doing things. James has been speaking specifically, as we've talked, to Jewish Christians who are being persecuted. They've had to leave kind of their homes and travel into a different land, and so they've left their homes, and now they're in different places, and the people that are surrounding them are persecuting them for what they believe. We talked last week about James addressed the rich, and he told the rich that they were going to suffer for hoarding their wealth, for inflicting pain on the Jewish Christians. And he told them that God's justice was coming. But he encouraged the believers to have patience and endurance to strive through that persecution. As we come to the final section of the book of James, he's going to emphasize that the prayer of the righteous is powerful. The prayer of the righteous is powerful. Many times we don't feel like we have the time to spend in prayer throughout the day. Our culture is such that we're told we need to get up in the morning. We need to get going. We need to have your Wheaties, you know, to give that energy. And you need to just go through the whole day. And by the end of the day, it's like, it's time to collapse. It reminded me of this quote from Martin Luther. Martin Luther said this: I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done. He said, I have so much to do today that I'm going to have to spend longer in prayer in order that I'll be able to accomplish those things. How many of us have that perspective of prayer? I appreciated Jack talking from 1 Thessalonians 5 today. Pray continuously. Why? Because prayer is important. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. We must learn to see the power we can have in prayer and see that it is the most efficient use of our time. Let's read our text this morning, starting in verse 13 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 13. James says this: Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James gives us 4 instructions about prayer. The first instruction is you need to pray no matter the circumstances. You need to pray no matter the circumstances. That's basically another way of saying exactly what Jack said this morning. Pray without ceasing. Pray no matter the circumstances. James says, if you're suffering, pray to God. Had these Jews been suffering? Yes. James has talked about their suffering. He talked about suffering that they were experiencing from within, that some of them were being overlooked because maybe they looked poor. He talked about the suffering they faced from the rich. He He talked about the suffering that they had been facing since having to come out of their homeland. So were they experiencing suffering? Yes. James says, if you're suffering, pray. Pray to God. James says, are you cheerful? Are you happy? Do you have good feelings inside of you? He says, sing songs of praises to God. Give God the glory. If you read through the Psalms, you can see how much the nation of Israel praised God for the things that he had done in their lives. They looked back and they could see him splitting the sea. And they said, praise God for that. They could see God bringing them out of their suffering in the nation of Egypt. And they said, praise God for that. They suffered wandering around the wilderness because of their own sin. But they said, praise God for that. Because this was all part of God's plan. When they were in it, they weren't necessarily praising God for it. But praise God for all of his provision. The Israelites continually do that through the Psalms. We need to praise God for the things he's doing in our lives. James says, are you sick? Pray to God. Are you suffering? Pray to God. I'd like to give an opportunity this morning. If anyone has any praises they'd like to say this morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that. Anything you'd like to praise God that he's been doing in your life or anything, it doesn't have to be recent, but something you'd like to give thanks to God for this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? Good. What else? What can we praise God for this morning? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The continual things you just see over and over again in your lives as you go throughout the day. What else? Things we can praise God for this morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Change in season, getting to see the growth, getting to have summertime, getting to have snow, getting to have the fall, the color change, different time of year. Yeah. What else? Yeah. Praise God for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. What else? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Good. Good. Things are going well now. Good. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Good. Would you join me in the doxology? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God for the things that are going on in our lives. Praise God that He wants to be involved in our lives on a daily basis, minute by minute, second by second. Praise God that He saves us from accidents. Praise God that He heals our bodies. Praise God for all the things that He does in our lives. James says, are you suffering? Are you cheerful? Are you sick? You need to be in prayer to God. He says, are you sick? He says, you can call the elders. The elders kind of had this idea in the Old Testament times that they were kind of the leaders of the synagogue. They were the ones who were kind of the most knowledgeable in the Word of God. And so the first kind of idea was just older people. They were the elders. They were the older ones. They were the ones with wisdom. And so then it kind of made a transition a little bit in the New Testament that they're the ones who have been qualified to do the work of the Holy Spirit in these churches. They're the leaders of the church, these elders. They're the ones, James will talk later about righteousness in prayer, having a righteous life. And they're the ones who are living righteously. The Bible gives us qualifications for an elder, and it tells us that these elders need to be doing these specific things in their lives, that they need to be living holy lives, set apart for God. So James says, you can call the elders and have them anoint you and have them pray over you. Now, there were different types of anointing. There was just an ordinary anointing, and that was after someone bathed, they would anoint themselves with oil, and some of that could be like a perfume type thing. There was sacred anointing. We read in the Old Testament about kings who would be anointed, set apart for the service. Priests who would be anointed, they'd be set apart for the service. Then there's also a medical anointing. In the New Testament, we read about the story of the Good Samaritan, and in that parable that Jesus tells, He talks about the Samaritan who comes and anoints the person with oil and bandages their wounds. And so there was oil that was also used in an anointing way for medical purposes, for medical reasons. And so James says here, anoint, call the elders, have them anoint you. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 14. And I think it has a combination of maybe a couple of those that James is talking about. I think there was some medicinal properties to the oil as they were anointed for specific sicknesses. Now, obviously, the oil would not cure every disease. But I think there was a medicinal purpose that James was saying, you can make sure that you use some medicine for this. That was the medicine of their day, was this oil. But he's also saying something more than that. He's saying, make sure that you have them anoint you with oil, because I think it's a symbolic thing that God is in control of this situation, that you're giving it over completely to God and allowing Him to work in it one way or another. Because whether God always answers prayers. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says not yet. God always answers prayer. Sometimes it's not the answer that we would like for the prayer, but God always answers the prayer. One little kind of side note here that I wanted to make is that sometimes in the Bible, sickness was linked to sin. And so you read through the book of Job, and his friends come to him and they say, maybe it was something you did. There are times in the Gospels where somebody is sick and they come to and say, well, was it his parents' sin or was it his sin that he was this way? There are those cases that sickness is linked to sin. However, every sickness is not linked to sin. We live in a fallen world where there's going to be sickness. There's going to be diseases. There's going to be problems that we encounter. And that's not always because of sin. It's because we live in a fallen world that is cursed by sin. So I just wanted to make that distinction there so that it was clear that there are these times when sin is linked to sickness, but also that all sickness is not linked to sin, like personal sin. It is linked to the sinfulness that happened in Genesis 3 because of the fallenness of man, because all the whole earth was cursed because of the sin. So we're given four instructions for prayer. James gives us the first one, that we need to pray no matter the circumstances. Pray without ceasing. The second one is pray with bold faith. Pray with bold faith. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Pray with bold faith. There are times in the Gospels where Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Jesus healed Bartimaeus, and he said, your faith has healed you. There was a healing of lepers, and one of them actually came back to Jesus, and Jesus told him, your faith has healed you. There was the woman with this problem of bleeding, and she touched Jesus, and Jesus said, who touched me? I felt power go out, and his disciples were like, there's people surrounding you on all sides. But Jesus said there was something different about this woman, and the difference was that her faith has healed her. Faith is linked to healing. We need to have a bold faith. There are many examples of people who prayed boldly. I was talking a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning, but Joshua in Joshua chapter 10, Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still, and it did. For a day, the sun just stayed right there. Talk about a bold prayer, but that's what God wanted to happen, because Joshua was in God's will, and Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still. Solomon prayed for wisdom, and God blessed him because of that prayer. Solomon became the wisest person to ever live. That's in 1 Kings chapter 3. It said people would come from all over the world just to hear from Solomon and his wisdom. Peter in the New Testament, Acts chapter 9, it says that he goes into this room with this woman named Tabitha. Translated, it means Dorcas. So it says that in your Bible, that her name is Tabitha or Dorcas. He goes into this room, and Tabitha has died. And it says that all of these people were mourning over her death, and they all had quilts there, basically, that she had been making for the community. And they were all mourning because she had now died because of all of the things she had done for her community. And it says Peter sent them out of the room, and he prayed. And she came back to life. It doesn't tell us what Peter said there, but that was a bold prayer. She came back to life. Jesus, even in the raising of Lazarus, Jesus said, I want to do this to show your glory. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out. Bold prayers. Bold prayers are specific prayers. Sometimes we pray and we pray with generalities. God, I pray that you bless us today. I don't know if you do that when you order for something. Well, what would you like for lunch today? Well, I'd like a blessing. That'd be good. Just you know, something. That'd be fine. Pray with something specific in mind. Pray for a specific outcome that you want to have happen. Pray specifically. It's part of praying boldly. Ask for definite outcomes that God's glory can be shown in the things that happen. I think John, we've been praying for John, Lori's father. I think that's a definite outcome. We were praying that he would have healing. Is John going to live forever? None of us are going to live forever. Lazarus, I mentioned, Lazarus came back to life. Jesus brought him back to life. He's not still alive today. He eventually died. Peter raised Tabitha back to life for God's glory. Is Tabitha still alive today? No. But we need to be praying specific, bold prayers. Do I take requests to God that are bold? Do I take requests to God that are specific? Pray with bold, bold faith. Pray for one another. Verses 16 through 18 says, we need to pray for one another. It talks about confession, confessing your sins to one another. And confession starts with confessing sins to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we have wronged other people, we're supposed to confess our sins to them. If I did something wrong to Jack, I would first confess my sins to God, and then I would go to Jack and I would say, Jack, I need to confess something to you. I hit your truck. I'm sorry. And I would confess that to him, and we would probably talk through some things at that point. But we need to confess our sins to one another also. Some of that's an accountability thing, that we need to be confessing our sins. And that doesn't mean you have to pour out all your dirty laundry to people. But it is good to have somebody you can go to and say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this. You know what, I'm really struggling with my pride this week. You know what, I'm really struggling with this week. It's good to have somebody that you can talk through some of that stuff with, have that accountability and confessing your sins. Psalm 139 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm going to give you guys just a couple minutes this morning. If you would say that as a prayer to God, to search you and see if there's any wicked way in you, and if there is a wicked way in you, that you would confess that to him this morning. I think I'm going to play my guitar. I had asked Tom to play some music, but I think I'll just play my guitar for a couple minutes, and I'll give you an opportunity just to pray that God would search you and point out anything in your life that you need to confess to him. I pray that you would help us to see the things in our lives. God, help us to pray in all circumstances and to come to you and confess those things. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. James says in the last part of verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. There's power in righteousness. There's power when we confess our sins to God and then come to him in prayer. There's power in holiness. There's power in purity. He hears the prayers of the righteous. James gives us an illustration of Elijah. He says Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. There was no rain. And then Elijah prayed, and if you read the text, Elijah bows his head before God, and 7 times he sends the person away to go and look out over the sea. Finally, the 7th time, he sees a little storm coming over the sea. He sees a little cloud. And Elijah sends it back. He says, go back again and look. And all of a sudden, this huge storm is amassed that's coming in 3.5 years later. I don't know about farmers, but that's a long time to wait for rain. It's a long time to have to wait for your crops to be able to plant. But it had been 3.5 years since there had been any rain. There had been this drought. But Elijah prayed. First there was the drought, and then Elijah prayed, and then the rain came. The amazing thing about what James tells us is he says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Like Janet said this morning, Elijah was just a man. The people I told you with bold prayers, they were just men, just like us. Do you realize we have access to the same God that Elijah was praying to? That Solomon was praying to, that Peter was praying to. We have access to the same God who can do the same mighty works. Elijah was a man, just like you or I. You can say, well, I'm not like Elijah. I can't pray and God's going to rain fire out of heaven on Baal's prophets. But guess what? You're praying to the same God that did that. You say, well, I don't know that I have the same power. Yes, you do. You have the same power in the Holy Spirit to pray to God about things, to come boldly before him. Elijah wasn't perfect. James says he was just like you or me, with the same nature. Do you have that type of faith? Do you believe that God will respond to your prayers like he did with Elijah? James is giving us 4 instructions about prayer. Whoops. The 4th one, pray for those who wander. The last couple verses here, verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James says, my brothers. Is James talking about unbelievers here? No, I believe James is talking about believers because he says, my brothers. Throughout the whole book of James, he's saying, my brothers, my brothers, my brother, my brethren. He says, these are believers. He said, if any of you stray, wander from the truth. Jesus talks about different type of soil where the seed is spread in Luke chapter 8. And he said, some of it falls on the path and the birds come along and pluck it away immediately. The seed that he's talking about is the gospel message being sown in people's lives. And the different type of soil are representative of the people. Some is sown on the path and it's just stolen away quickly. And so people don't receive the gospel at all. They reject it. Some of it falls on rocky soil, Jesus tells us in this parable. And the soil's thin, so it starts to take root, but then it just dies away quickly because there's not enough soil there to preserve it. Some falls in the thorny bushes, and it starts to grow, but then the thorns choke it out. But then Jesus tells us some falls on the good soil. And the good soil helps it grow and flourish and produce fruit. I think what James is talking about here is the seeds that's falling on the rocky soil and the thorny soil. There are those who have heard the gospel message. Sometimes they believe the gospel message, but then they wander. They go away from their faith. There are those you see that are excited, enthused as new Christians, and then a few years later you see them wander away from their faith. And that's what James is talking about here. And he says if you can take somebody who's wandering and you pray for them and you can bring them back to the truth, you will save them. Why? Because they're going through that process. They're repenting of their sins and they're turning around. They're coming back into the truth. You will save them from their sins. You'll save their soul from death. It will cover over a multitude of sins. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm driving. You know those little bumps in the middle of the road? Here in Indiana, you have them in the middle. Michigan, we don't have them as much in the middle. You guys have them in the middle and the side. You get both of them. So if you kind of begin to go off a little bit, what do you hear? Yep. If you go towards the middle a little bit, that's what you hear. When you begin to wander, you start to hear that noise. And James is saying you need to be like that rumble strip. You need to see somebody that's starting to go off and you go, hold on. You're beginning to wander from the truth here. Hold on. You're walking down the wrong path there. We need to be like the guardrails for people. As Christians, as we see our brothers struggling, we need to be the guardrails to kind of help them, to help them see what they're doing, that they're not following the truth. James says, if you see somebody wandering, help to bring them back. Do you realize that God can use your prayer life, God can use you to affect the eternal destiny of someone? You can be a part of saving someone else through your words. God does the saving, but you can help be the guardrail. You can help point them back towards Him. Conclusion this morning, James doesn't finish with the normal conclusion that you would think. Paul writes his letters, and Paul gives all these addresses, and, you know, thank so-and-so, and do this, and pray for this, but James just kind of ends here. James just kind of stops. I have a feeling he got to, like, the most important part, saving a sinner from his wandering. He said, okay, that's the most important thing. I've been telling these believers all about living out their lives. I've just told them about praying boldly like Elijah, who was able to stop rain for 3.5 years and then was able to pray and it rained again. Now I'm telling them that they need to be guardrails for other people around them. The book of James is all about going and acting. It's about doing. James emphasizes putting our faith into action through our prayers and through living out our lives. So I want to say, go and live out your faith this morning. Go and live out what you believe, because that's what James is calling us to. He's saying, go through those doors and live out what you believe. Go through those doors and tell people about Jesus and what He's done in your life. Go through those doors and pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray in all circumstances. Just go and live out your faith. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for the study we've gone through. And Father, we praise you for just the examples we have through your word and around us. God, we thank you for Elijah and that he was a man of prayer. God, we thank you for so many prayer warriors within this church that are people of prayer. God, we thank you for results, for things that happen in our lives, and we praise you that you are involved in everything that happens. God, we pray that you would help us to live out the things we believe. Help us to live out our faith. Help us to live out what we say we believe. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.